Well, we're going to read the Bible now. And if you have a Bible handy, turn to Luke's Gospel to chapter 10 and verse 25. Again, as ever, if you don't have one handy, don't worry. The words will appear at the bottom of the screen. But continuing in Luke, as I say, Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And I'm going to read from verses 25 to 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What's written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave him to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Well, our English language is littered with phrases which we all say day by day, but that they originally come from the Bible. So phrases like an eye for an eye, or a double-edged sword, or signs of the times, all biblical in their origins. And so lots of us, we think we know what we mean when we say the phrase, the Good Samaritan. It's a biblical phrase, but we use it day by day in the English language. And that can mean that when we hear Jesus teach it in this account, which will be familiar, I'm sure, to lots of us, well, because we think we already know what it means, because we say that sort of thing from time to time, well, then we miss what Jesus means. And so we miss its punch, what he was teaching as he said it. I heard someone say it a bit like this. It becomes a bit like an old flint axe, the sort of thing you see in a museum. It's behind glass, but pretty blunt and old and harmless. And as we look at that axe and wonder about which of our ancestors might have wielded it, we forget that once upon a time it was sharp. It was a tool with a very clear purpose, and it did its job. And we need to listen very carefully then to Jesus' teaching here to ensure we don't miss what he really means, that the story does its job. And as ever, as we read God's word, it's context that's king. You see, Jesus tells this now famous story because, verse 25, we're told an expert in religious law jumps to his feet to test Jesus. Here's the question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, to be sure, that is a great question. It's as important now as it ever was. It's a question a lot are asking in our pandemic. It's a question that's drawing lots of people to churches, 25% of adults engaging online with church in the last few weeks. But we're told this question from this lawyer at this time was a test, a trap for Jesus. And so Jesus simply replies, doesn't he, verse 26, with a question back. What's written in the law? You're the lawyer, you tell me what you must do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He rattles it off. It's the right answer. Jesus has taught as much. The Old Testament makes it clear. And Jesus here says, spot on. And yet the lawyer is not convinced. Verse 29, we're told he wanted to justify himself. And so he asked Jesus another question. And who is my neighbor? In other words, it's just too much and too broad and too challenging to therefore just simply say, Jesus, go and love everybody. So he asks Jesus this question in the hope that Jesus will narrow things down to make obeying it a little bit easier. He asks Jesus, come on, let's narrow down this neighbor word. Give me some reasonable targets to aim for. And so Jesus tells this now famous story, and it is no moral tale, but a mighty wake-up call for the lawyer then, for us now. It's not a blunt axe, but a very sharp sword, where Jesus wants us to see that he humbles the proud who need his mercy, and he helps the humble live it out. Let's just recap the details. Again, lots of us will know them well. Verse 30, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. So here we are, a man, presumably a Jew, heading home from synagogue down a notoriously dangerous road back from Jerusalem to Jericho. It would have been no surprise at all to Jesus' first listeners that the man had been attacked on that street. Had been left for dead, stripped of valuables and clothing. And then we meet our three famous passers-by, and now the surprises start to come. First, the priest, think vicar, but he sees this man, the body, and keeps walking on the other side. Then the Levite, think curate, he sees the body and keeps walking on the other side. Now, there'd have been some surprise here, perhaps, from the crowd. These two clergymen were held up as the good guys in that culture. There'd have been a conflict about ritual cleanliness and touching the dead, but there'd have been some surprise there. But perhaps they would have expected Jesus to now say, but then a lovely layperson comes by, a regular member of the church community, and they see, and they stop, and they serve this person in the road. And so, go and do likewise. Perhaps that's what they expected. There's our Sunday school lesson that we know so well, isn't it? Don't be above your station. Be kind to everyone, whoever they are. And we all think, how lovely. But this is no blunt axe that the lawyer would think, how lovely. This is a sharp tool. And so to be clear, when Jesus said, verse 33, but a Samaritan, the lawyer and the crowd will have sat with their mouths open. You'd have heard a pin drop or a gasp. The last person a Jewish lawyer will have expected Jesus to use in his teaching and mention will have been a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans hated one another deeply, racially, and for generations. It was scandalous for Jesus to weave one into the story like this, not least of all, pretend this is what they might do. Perhaps the equivalent might be, dare I say, if a Taliban leader were teaching this story, they would say, but an American soldier stops and cares for their enemy. The depth of Jewish Samaritan hatred was that strong. It was a shocking choice of hero for Jesus to have chosen. But this is no blunt axe. It's sharp and with a purpose. He continues, verse 33, when he, the Samaritan, saw him, he took pity on him. You see, all the actions of his hands start in his heart. And so he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, then put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. You see, in his compassion, his heart is stirred. He sees a man in need and he goes over. He knows the road is dangerous. There is great risk, but the man needs him. He needs someone. He pours on oil and wine to dress the wounds. He puts him on his own donkey. He takes him to the local B&B where he stays overnight himself to ensure the man makes it through the night. It's astonishing commitment. Whatever this Samaritan was doing, wherever he was going, all now on hold to help this man. And still he's not finished, is he? The next day, verse 35, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. There's one thing to stay. Astonishingly, before he leaves, he pays up front to the innkeeper what was the equivalent of 3 weeks full board and lodging. He tells the manager of the inn, look after him. Expenses are covered for as long as it takes. And should an extra penny be needed, well, then I'll pay it when I come back. In fact, the original Greek is absolutely emphatic. It's I will pay it. Don't you dare ask him for a penny. It's me. And remember, all this, not for a wounded friend or even a helpless stranger, but an enemy. And now Jesus turns the tables on that original trick question. Verse 36. Which of these three proved to be a neighbor to the man? Did you notice the lawyer can't actually bring himself to say the Samaritan? No, he simply replies, verse 37, well, it's the one who had mercy on him. And then Jesus says, you go and do likewise. You see, the lawyer will have wandered off knowing that was going to be almost impossible. See, he asked the question because he spelt the word neighbor J-E-W. Jesus says, no, the word neighbor is spelt M-A-N-K-I-N-D. There's a Peanuts cartoon strip where Lucy tells Linus that he will never, ever be a doctor, despite what he wishes, because it's quite clear to her that he doesn't love mankind. And Linus, the cartoonist, draws a little disgruntled face on Linus, and he replies, I do love mankind. It's people I can't stand. We know what he means, don't we? He can speak in broad terms, but there are those who just irritate him. And Lucy knows it. And so when we come to this very famous story, we think, well, we are the one who would stop like the Samaritan. That we'd be kind and compassionate and go out of our way as far as we're able. But with a sharp axe, Jesus is asking, would you really? A love with no limits, that doesn't dare ask who, only how. Are you sure you love like a Samaritan for a Jew? And even without going to the extremes that we might think of in our culture and society of could I love him or her, just think closer to home of our own households. our own classrooms, our own wider family, our own colleagues, our own neighbours, our own church family. Limitless love and mercy for everyone. It's not going to be easy, is it? It's not going to be easy if Jesus says, show mercy to everyone, not just your friends, not just the helpless, even enemies. And so as we draw it together, we're to see the purpose of why Jesus wields this axe at all. We're to see that his command, go and do likewise, is two-pronged for the lawyer and the crowd then and for us today. It's that they and we would see that Jesus humbles the proud who need his mercy, but that he also helps the humble live out his mercy. So as we close, firstly, let's see how Jesus humbles the proud who needs his mercy. You see, he undermines both the lawyer and any of all of our attempts to self-justify like him. He wants, as many of us do, and perhaps it's you this morning, a very achievable, straightforward checklist where Jesus says, I see what you mean about neighbor, then do this, 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 and God will say, thumbs up. But all through Luke's gospel, Jesus has been very clear that he hasn't come because mankind needs a self-help salvation. No, he's come because mankind needs a savior. You see, this story serves to show the lawyer then, and perhaps you today, that in contrast to any other religion or philosophical worldview, that being right with God, making the grade, if you will, is not about doing likewise and so receiving his merit. No, it's only and ever about first receiving his mercy. See, the lawyer was desperate to know what to do so he could be sure God loves him. Jesus wants him and us to see there's nothing you can do because on the cross it's already been done. The lawyer was to see, and perhaps you this morning too, it's his mercy, God's mercy, that you need. That's the only thing to do, is to respond and to ask. Jesus humbles the proud who need his mercy. But secondly, Jesus helps the humble live it out. You see, those who've turned to Christ and receive God's mercy in our hearts, we've seen how much we need him and come to him that in that way. Well, we're assured that with the Spirit's help, we can go and do likewise. And so think of our family, our neighbours, our colleagues, classmates. Think of our local community, national, international. Not just those we like, as we thought, but if we're honest, even those we really don't. Jesus says that when you first receive his mercy, when that's there in our hearts, we can go and do likewise with our hands. He wants us to see that to follow him is to love the unlovely and the helpless and the marginalized, the unvalued, the weak, the aged and the poor, because they are our fellow neighbor. They are mankind. And he asks his followers to do that, not because we want to be repaid by them or by God, but because we're quite sure and know what he's already paid for us. And so Jesus says that following him, it's not to simply delegate the care of others to the hands of social services, as wonderful a job as they do. No, it's where possible to be those to offer those services ourselves. And he knows it's hard. But he knows that for those who've received the example of his mercy and the help of his Spirit, that is what going and do likewise means. That it's the joyful instruction for you and for me who know Christ's mercy already, that as we go out into his world, more and more might know his mercy too. Jesus humbles the proud who need his mercy. Perhaps that's you this morning. But Jesus also helps the humble live it out. Perhaps that's you too.